on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, more clarity is being sought as to whether the decision to locate the headquarters of the new Garda Division of Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim in Letterkenny is a temporary or a permanent designation. The chair of the Derry and Strabane's Community Safety Partnership has condemned last night's shooting in Derry. 51 delegates from the German town of Rudolstadt will visit Letterkenny this weekend, marking 1 year since the official signing of the twinning agreement between both towns. And Gardaí and Donegal are warning motorists to exercise caution as a yellow weather warning is in place until tomorrow morning. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, more clarity is being sought as to whether the decision to locate the headquarters of the new Garda Division of Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim in Letterkenny is a temporary or a permanent designation. The President of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspector Superintendent Noel Cunningham has however welcomed the commitment given by the Commissioner that no changes will be implemented on the border until there is clarity on Brexit. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Superintendent Cunningham said there is a much bigger picture that needs to be looked at.
Our difficulty in this regard is that we haven't got the underpinning document. And the underpinning document, if we got sight of that, would actually answer the question, what is the policing requirement for Donegal? You know, I mean, we have no document which says that the level of policing required for Letterkenny is A and for Castlefin is B and whatever that might be. And then we would know what the requirement is and what it's going to be at and if that's sufficient. And we can sit down then and have constructive discussions around that matter. The whole issue around resources is not just people. It's the infrastructure that supports that policing. It's cars, it's IT, it's all of those issues, and indeed it's buildings. And unfortunately, many of our buildings are not fit for purpose. So there's a much bigger picture here. We need an operating model. We need to document which underpins it. We need to see what the implications are for policing in rural Ireland. What's going to happen in the outer regions?
The junior minister with responsibility for insurance says if there isn't a focus on reducing awards in the courts, more insurance companies will leave the market. Minister Michael Darcy was responding to Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty, who expressed concern that a number of festivals and leisure businesses cannot get insurance. The judiciary is being asked to agree new guidelines to reduce awards and costs, but Deputy Doherty told the Dáil that awards are already coming down. He said the government must stand up to the insurance companies.
You need to stand up to the industry. Have you sat down with Insurance Ireland? Have you talked to them that we have a complete market failure here? We have thousands of jobs, an entire sector which can't get insurance in Ireland or in Britain. Have you had that conversation? Because the underwriter who used to underwrite them, when they moved their headquarters from London to Dublin, two government ministers were issuing press releases welcoming them coming here to Dublin, AXA XL. So have you left the phone to AXA and XL and say, thank you for coming to Dublin as a result of Brexit, but why are you screwing over our Indigenous business and withdrawing from the market?
It is the small damages, the small claims that are doing the catastrophic damage to businesses and to companies. I've met all of the insurance companies. I've met with Insurance Ireland. I went to London to meet the underwriters as well. And the message is very clear from the underwriters. Reduce the awards, reduce the methodology in which claims are presented. One particular case was an award of 8,000 with fees of 40,000. Now that era has to end. Let's deal with the bigger areas that are doing damage, that the insurance companies are saying, if this doesn't change, we are out and we're not coming back in.
The chair of the Derry and Strabane Community Safety Partnership has condemned last night's shooting in Derry. A man in his 30s was found in the Leith Fair Gardens area of the city after being reportedly shot in both legs in a paramilitary-style shooting in the Gallia Estate at about 8 o'clock. Councillor Sandra Duffy is appealing to anyone who may have any information to come forward. She believes the man, after being shot, attempted to seek help himself before collapsing.
It was an absolutely shocking attack, and to say it was overnight, it was at 8 o'clock in the evening. It wasn't quite dark yet. It was very early. There were still children on the street. There was a boxing club very nearby where children were attending. So this was an absolutely disgraceful attack in the middle of the community here at a very early stage. A barbaric attack on a member of our community, and we utterly condemn this. It is our understanding that the young man was shot in both legs. He then got up and tried to go to get help himself before he collapsed. This was absolutely a barbaric attack.
The fact that it did happen almost in daylight, there's bound to be somebody out there who witnessed something or who may have information. Obviously, you would be urging them to come forward to contact police.
Absolutely. I have said it before and I will say it again. There is absolutely no place in our society for these type of attacks. And I would urge anyone with any information regarding this attack to come forward to police with that information.
Finding an appropriate budget policy could be complex due to the uncertainty over Brexit. That's according to the latest quarterly report from the ESRI, which also warns of the impact a no deal will have on the economy. Andrew Louth reports.
The ESRI says a no-deal Brexit after October 31st could cause a sizeable and immediate shock to the Irish economy. It says any modelling it has undertaken when looking at the potential impact of Brexit does not paint a positive picture in a no-deal scenario. Senior researcher Conor O'Toole explains.
If all of these factors align, if there's a disruptive no-deal and if the international economy slows considerably, we could easily have a recession, a contraction next year, so a fall in economic activity.
However, a delay or a Brexit with a deal could see the economy continue to grow. Conor O'Toole says this was evident in March when the UK got its first extension from the European Union.
One of the things that is noteworthy is that when there was a delay in March to the no-deal outcome, we saw some of the indicators tick upwards immediately afterwards.
With regards to Brexit and the public finances, the ESRI also says a supplementary budget may be needed early next year if external conditions change substantially. Earlier this month, Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue said this year's budget will be with a no-deal scenario in mind.
The Minister for Finance has been confronted over what Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has called an outrageously strict criteria for people with disabilities in accessing certain transport supports. The Disabled Drivers and Disabled Passengers Scheme currently requires an individual to get a primary medical certificate after meeting certain conditions. However, the Ombudsman has described the scheme as overly rigid and inflexible and may well be causing inequity. Deputy Pringle says to further compound the matter, applicants from Donegal who appealed the decision have to travel to Dunleary to present themselves to a medical team. He is vowing to keep the pressure on in calling for the legislation to be amended and criteria to be fair and equal.
Basically, the primary medical certificate is a certificate that people with disabilities need to get in order to be able to access car or vehicles, whether they're the driver themselves or a passenger. I've had a number of cases over the years, really, in my office where people don't meet the criteria because the criteria that the government is using is overly strict. And indeed, I've made a complaint to the Ombudsman as well in relation to this on behalf of people. And the Ombudsman has raised concerns with the government as well, that he's very concerned that this scheme has been as unfair. And indeed, the Ombudsman has said that it's overly rigid and flexible and may be causing inequity as well in society. The government is refusing to deal with it, and basically it's because they're taking a short-term way of saving money rather than looking at the people who are critically in need of support.
And you did highlight a number of cases in Donegal in which people are clearly struggling with mobility yet have been denied support under the scheme. So no doubt you will keep the pressure on to ensure that the criteria is made more fair and equal.
Yes, definitely. I mean, there's a number of cases that I would have that I give examples of in the Dáil today. Like, for example, one woman who's unable to walk unaided and can only use a wheelchair some of the time because of her disability. And she lives in a very rural, isolated area, so therefore she needs transport and she's been refused the scheme. And indeed, somebody else who only can walk has severe weakness in her legs and can't access her own house, so has to stay with her daughter and rented accommodation because of they can't actually avail of the scheme at all because the criteria is so strict. The minister needs to deal with this and needs to act on it. Now, it requires legislation to change, and he is saying that he's not interested in doing that and that they have a couple of reports in the department. I've asked to see those reports to see what we can do, and I will be continuing to voice this.
70 drivers have so far been detected breaking the speed limit on the country's roads since Project Edward began at midnight. 32,000 vehicles have been checked for speed as part of today's European Day Without a Road Death initiative. Sinn Beatty reports from the Monaghan Tyrone border outside Emmyvale.
Throughout the country, checkpoints have been mounted by Gardaí as part of today's European-wide initiative to promote road safety. 32,000 vehicles were checked for speed and so far 70 drivers have been detected as driving above the limit. One motorist was clocked travelling at 148 kilometres per hour in a 120 kilometre zone on the M1 at Lusk in Dublin, while another was doing 105 kilometres per hour in an 80 kilometre zone in Dunshaughlin in Meath. A joint Garda PSNI checkpoint has been taking place here on the Monaghan Tyrone border. PSNI Chief Inspector Diane Pennington says it's important they're visible to those crossing the border.
We work closely with our colleagues in Angarda Síochána every week, and we do, you know, cross-border operations. Today it just highlights that cooperation that we have. I think it just enhances the visibility.
Superintendent Ray McMahon of the Roads Policing Unit says speed is the main focus.
In this particular location, it's about awareness, and other locations right along the border region here, we'll be doing a lot of speed checks, and we're particularly going to emphasise on speed enforcement.
Gardaí say the news of two road deaths following a crash in County Clare demonstrates that we can never become complacent about road safety. Shane Beattie on the Moybridge Auchnacloy border.
Meanwhile, Gardaí and Donegal are warning motorists to exercise caution as a yellow weather warning is in place until tomorrow morning. The warning will remain in place until 9 o'clock with heavy downpours expected this evening and tonight with a risk of flooding. 51 delegates from the German town of Rudolstadt will visit Letterkenny this weekend, marking 1 year since the official signing of the twinning agreement between both towns. The delegation is to be welcomed at a special reception tomorrow night in the Radisson Hotel. With an overview of the itinerary, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The delegation will have an opportunity to participate in some of the planned Donegal Connect initiatives this weekend, including the Donegal Bay Drive Tour, where delegates will have an opportunity to visit Hannah Hatz and McGee's of Donegal Town before experiencing the highest sea cliffs in Europe at Slieve League, along with a visit to Glencolumbkill Folk Village. On Sunday, the group will travel north, visiting Creasla and Dunfanaghy before travelling to Remelton to enjoy a jazz music session. An important part of the visit will be exploring opportunities to further develop commercial linkages, and with that in mind, the delegation will be visiting a number of businesses, including Kinnegar Brewing at K2 in Letterkenny on Monday morning, and then they'll visit Donegal County Museum on Monday afternoon. The visit will conclude on Tuesday morning with a formal meeting between the delegates and members of Donegal County Council and businesses represented by the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Get 15% off your next online order using the code FITNESS. Some exclusions apply.
It's 5:15 and time's latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with rugby, and Ireland head coach Joe Smith says he has the utmost faith in Jack Carty. The Connacht out half replaces Jonathan Sexton for Saturday's World Cup game with Japan in one of the four changes from the win over Scotland. Joey Carberry provides cover on the bench. Rob Kearney returns at fullback. Keith Ayres is named on the wing, while Chris Farrell, he comes into the centre for Bundy Aki. Smith says there's plenty to Carty's game to cause Japan trouble.
I think he's got a bit of a running game. Obviously, he takes the ball to the line like he did against Wales and links up with players. And, you know, that's another attacking threat that he brings. And defensively, we've been really happy with the progress he's made in Connacht in recent times and now, obviously, into the national side.
Elsewhere, Italy all but secured qualification for the next World Cup with a 48-7 bonus win over Canada this morning. Conor O'Shea's side sit top of Pool B on 10 points, but have games against South Africa and the All Blacks to come. England, they sit top of Pool C after securing their second bonus point win of the tournament. Eddie Jones' side ran in 7 tries in a 45-7 victory over the USA in Kobe. Moving on to soccer, and Derby manager Philip Cocu says his captain Richard Keogh feels extremely down about his season-ending injury. The Republic of Ireland defender sustained a serious knee injury as a result of what the club called an alcohol-related incident on Tuesday night. Keogh was involved in a car crash which seen his teammates Mason Bennett and Tom Lawrence charged with drink driving. It means both Keogh and Shane Duffy will miss the Republic of Ireland's Euro 2020 qualifiers away to Georgia and Switzerland. Ireland. Duffy suffered a calf injury in Brighton's Carabao Cup defeat to Aston Villa last night. Elsewhere, Bury, they won't be readmitted into the Football League. The former League One side were expelled last month when a late takeover bid failed. A meeting of all 71 league clubs decided against letting Bury return to maintain fairness. As a result, they also agreed only one team will be relegated from League Two this season. Elsewhere, Liverpool Football Club's controversial attempt to get the word Liverpool trademarked has been turned down. The Intellectual Property Office say one of the reasons they rejected the request was because of the geographical significance of Liverpool as a city. The club say they won't appeal. And Barcelona have been fined £265 by the Spanish Football Federation for breaking rules over talking to Antoine Griezmann about his former club's permission. The La Liga champions eventually signed the French striker for £100 million this summer from Atletico Madrid after paying his release clause. Atletico complained the negotiations started without their knowledge. Back locally, there's a Northwest Women's Super League semi-final tonight as league champions Bonagee, they host Ellis Celtic. 7:30 is the start time at the Dry Arch Park. Greencastle, they await the winners in the final. In badminton, Chloe and Sam McGee bowed out of badminton's Korean Open this afternoon at the last 16 stage. The Rafoe duo took the world number 3 pair from Thailand to 3 sets in Incheon. The McGees lost the first 21-8 but bounced back to win the second 22-20. The decisive third was won 21-20. In Gaelic Games, the quarter-finals of the Donegal Senior Football Club Championship take centre stage this weekend, with 4 quarter-finals spread across Saturday and Sunday. The opening match is 5 o'clock on Saturday in Ballybuffet, with Milford up against St Junan's. Former Donegal player and McCool's man Marty O'Reilly feels it's a big opportunity for Milford.
I think it could be the tightest. You know, Milford will have a bit of confidence now for the last couple of games. You know, it was a good chance at the weekend against Glenswilly. Probably any niggles that they had already qualified.
The two Rorys are missing, Rory Carr and Rory Kavanagh. Would it be fair to say if you can contain Niall O'Donnell, do you think that's the best option for Milford going into the game?
I think it's a start anyway, you know, yeah. But I suppose like we played St Junan's in the league and, you know, I think we only got 3 or 4 points. They were really exceptional. But yeah, absolutely, if they can stop Niall O'Donnell some way, but then you have the likes of Conall Dunn who popped up with a winner.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of side that St Junan's are. They do have quality all over the pitch, so it'll be an interesting one.
As for Milford, first time ever in a quarter-finals is a huge achievement for the club. They're going to have to park that and try and get to the last 4 and don't let the occasion get to them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people talk about, you know, it's great to be there and, you know, that they've nothing to lose. But I don't really like that phrase, and nothing to lose, because, you know, I just know personally that Milford have trained extremely hard. They've been in the gym, you know, all winter and different things like that. So it's a case of a huge opportunity to maybe take a scalp and to put units to the sword at the weekend.
Yes, you can watch that championship interview with Marty O'Reilly on HighlandRadio.com and on the Highland Radio News and Sport Facebook page. Moving on to athletics, and there's 2 major road races happening in Ballybuffet this Sunday as the East Donegal Half Marathon and 3/4 Marathon will be taking place. Competitors from around Ireland as well as the United States and Scotland will make up the 900 strong field taking part in this weekend's events. In golf on the European Tour this week, it's the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. It's been played at the Old Course at St Andrews, Carnoustie and King's Barnes. There's 5 Irish players involved this week. Patrick Harrington, he's had the best round of those. He's finished on 3 under par. Rory McIlroy and Paul Donner finished on 2 under. Graham McDowell's level par. Shane Lowry finished on 1 over. Leading the way is South African Justin Walters. He shot a 63 today to sit 9 under par. He's 1 ahead of Victor Perez and Jordan Smith. On the PGA Tour this week, it's the Safeway Open. Cameron Tringali, Michael Kim and Ches Reavie, they're the early leaders on 2 under par in the very early stages of that event. And in motorsport, all 4 drivers from the Red Bull and Toro Rosso teams will be hit with grid penalties at the Formula One Russian Grand Prix. It's because partner Honda has decided to fit all of their cars with new engines. To ensure they're in the best competitive shape for the subsequent race at its home in Japan. The penalties are for exceeding the permitted number of engine parts for a season. Finally, for this evening in tennis, Australian player Nick Kyrgios has been given a suspended 16-week ban from the ATP Tour following his outburst at the Cincinnati Masters last month. He was handed a record fine of £90,000 after he committed 8 offences during the match Karen Khachanov, which included spitting towards the umpire. The ban will kick in if Kyrgios commits a similar offence within a 6-month period. Well, that's all your sport this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, sunny spells and widespread showers this evening, some heavy and possibly thundery. There will be a mix of clear spells and heavy showers tonight, also with a risk of thunderstorms overnight and lowest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, more clarity is being sought as to whether the decision to locate the headquarters of the new Garda Division of Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim in Letterkenny is a temporary or a permanent designation. The President of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspector Superintendent Noel Cunningham has however welcomed the commitment given by the Commissioner that no changes will be implemented on the border until there is clarity on Brexit. The junior minister with responsibility for insurance says if there isn't a focus on reducing awards in the courts, more insurance companies will leave the market. Minister Michael Darcy was responding to Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty, who expressed concern that a number of festivals and leisure businesses cannot get insurance. The chair of the Derry and Strabane Community Safety Partnership has condemned last night's shooting in Derry. A man in his 30s was found in the Lee Fair Gardens area of the city after being reportedly shot in both legs in a paramilitary-style shooting in the Gallia estate at around 8 o'clock. And the Minister for Finance has been confronted over what Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has called an outrageously strict criteria for people with disabilities in accessing certain transport supports. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 26th of September. The death has occurred of Sadie Gallagher, Quay Road, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing at Midland's Funeral Home, Dunloe, with rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Viewing tomorrow from 2 o'clock, followed by private removal at 8 o'clock going to her home. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Dunloe District Hospital, care of any family member or Sean Midlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Patrick Harkin, the barber, Lubbin Mallon Road, Moville. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny at 7 o'clock this evening, going to his home. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock for Requiem Mass at 3:30 in St. Mary's Church, Ballybrack, with burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the day of the funeral. The death has taken place of Moya McLaughlin, Carrow Moore Mallon, Nae McCallion, Lowertown Mallon. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Lag, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Carndonagh Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Liam Collins, funeral director. The death has taken place in Newport on Tay, Fife, Scotland, of Kathleen K. Connolly, née Duffy, formerly of Bishop Street, Derry, and K's Strand Road. Her remains will be removed from W.J. O'Brien and Sons Funeral Home, Eglinton, tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 to St. Patrick's Church, Pennyburn, for Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St. Columba's Cemetery, Drung. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to Age Concern, Malvern House, Chapel Road, Waterside, Derry. The death has taken place of Mary McGrotty, Abbey Park, Manor Cunningham, formerly of Sallybrook Manor Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Eileen and son-in-law Gerard Quinn's residence at 17 Abbey Park Manor, Cunningham. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St. Columbus Church, Dromahol, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Kuinani Day Centre Ballyraine, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Pat Joe Byrne, formerly of Dubin Glenties. His remains are reposing at his nephew Brian Byrne's home in Croke. Removal from there at 10 o'clock tomorrow to St. Connell's Church Glenties for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Harbour Lights Comfort Fund, care of any family member. And the death has occurred of James Joseph Jimjo McKay, Clockfin, Argray, Ballandrate. His remains are reposing at his daughter Katrina O'Neill's residence at Clockfin, Argray, Ballandrate. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 to St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the Old Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Heart, Chest and Stroke, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors.